Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
In 2020, as we started thinking about what would be our theme for this year, God started to impress on my heart this concept of experiencing God. And, you know, in a year in which so much was taken from us, I thought, you know, the one thing we could hold on to was our relationship with God. And so I started doing some research and I came across a book titled Experiencing God, right? How ironic. The author is Henry Blackaby, and he had published the book back in 1990. So it has been in print for 30 years, has sold millions of copies, and I had never even heard of it. Now, I came across in my research a video series done by his son, Richard, who now runs the ministry. And he talked about his quest to get his book published in China and how it took years upon years, decades, to get his book published in China. But finally, they told him, we have some good news for you. And so they got on the phone together and he said, great, I can't believe it. We got it published. I'm so excited. They said, but we got bad news as well. We can't keep the name Experiencing God. And so we had to name it something different. And Richard was like, well, why? Why'd you change the name? This is what everybody knows this book by. They said, well, we don't have the Mandarin word that can adequately be comparable to experiencing. And so he said, okay, so what did you name my book? And they said, Never the Same. Wow. It was in that moment that I knew, I'm like, this is our theme for 2021. And so I ran it by the staff and we started praying about it. And it was clear and it was evident that this was fitting for this year. And it was fitting for a number of reasons. First of all, we know that when we experience God, we are never the same, right? The impact that an experience with God makes in our lives always changes us for the good or for the bad, depending on how we respond to Him. And we see examples in the Bible, and we've seen examples in our personal lives of people who responded with pride or with fear or with doubt, right? And what has happened to their lives. And we see examples of people who responded with humility, right? Now, we know that the greatest breakthrough that we can experience in our lives is our baptism. The old has gone, the new has come. We are never the same. And it's so amazing because in the last couple of years, we've baptized almost 100 people. That's almost 100 souls that whose lives are changed forever as they made Jesus Lord of their lives, as they repented from their sins, as they were forgiven for their sins, as they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we also know that our church will never be the same after 2020. Not only did we add new members to the family, which always changes things, right? But we also bought a building in a pandemic. We solidified our small groups. We grew a deeper understanding of what it meant to be the church and not just go to church. Now, we will never go back to ministry as usual, what it was like before this pandemic. We're looking for new ways and praying about new opportunities to create churches that mobilize the next generation. Now, it was also obvious that our world and our country would never be the same after 2020. The pandemic has changed our lives forever. The way we interact with one another has changed. The way we see the world and the way we see and interact with God has probably changed as well. Some of us have battled COVID and have recovered. Some are battling it right now. We know from experience that the physical symptoms are one thing, but when you add on top of that the anxiety and the fear and the worry that comes along with the disease, with that virus, it can feel overwhelming. And yet God is with us. God is there in those moments. And if you're paddling right now with the virus, we want you to know we're praying for you. We have you on our hearts and our minds, and you are not alone. You know, we have family and friends that have passed away. Recently, my father-in-law, Mr. Eugene Ruffin, passed away. And I want to take this moment just to thank everybody for your condolences, for your love, for your prayer during this time of mourning. Back in 2020, my wife also lost her older brother, Rob. I lost my grandfather, Abuelo Fran. So it's been a season of loss in some ways. And of course, our dear sister, Miss Todd, who went on to be with the Lord. We miss her so much. But at the same time, we also got to experience new life. We saw beautiful babies born into this world, right? Artis Dorelis and Naya Brown, Soraya Heron and Naomi Edwards and Naomi King, all part of our family now, a new generation of warrior princesses for the Lord. Oh, and, we can't forget our warrior prince baby Daxton Doherty and our warrior prince, little Armani Marie. We celebrate the new life as well. At the same time, like I said, our country's leadership has changed and it'll never be the same. Some believe for the best and others for the worst. Only time will tell. It's like the beginning of a new sports season where every fan is excited about their team, right? Optimistic about the possibilities. So yes, I am hopeful that our country will get closer to its ideals, but I can agree with President Biden's sentiment in his inauguration speech, in which he said, "I know speaking of unity can sound to some like a foolish fantasy these days. I know the forces that divide us are deep and they are real, but I also know they are not new. Our history has been a constant struggle between the American ideal that we're all created equal and the harsh, ugly reality that racism, nativism, fear, demonization have long torn us apart. The battle is perennial and victory is never assured." Now, personally, you know, the diversity that we saw on Inauguration Day was a step toward more victories. I was moved as I watched the first Latina Supreme Court justice swear in, the first African-American, the first Asian, the first woman to become vice president of the United States. Wow, all kinds of glass ceilings have been shattered. But I have an even greater hope for the church, the true disciples of Jesus, who will be a city on a hill, giving guidance and hope to a lost and dying world, and that our country will never be the same because of it. So this year's theme, Never the Same, is all about embracing that change and understanding that nothing in this world and nothing in this life is permanent except our relationship with God. And the hope is that we will see change as a positive thing, as a part of the process toward even more breakthroughs in the future. But here's the thing. In order to experience never the same, we must have a deep conviction that we're never alone. Yes, you are never alone because God is with us and God is within us. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we learn about King Asa and how he began his reign over Judah and how he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed the foreign altars and smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. I mean, King Asa was cleaning house. And as a result of his obedience and his repentance, the Lord gave their nation peace and rest. And so they were able to build and to prosper until Zerah showed up, the Ethiopian king who was thirsty for war. But Asa was cool. Asa had an army of 580,000 soldiers. But Zerah, he had an army of 1,000,000. The odds were stacked against King Asa, but he was not about to back down. And so they took their battle positions, and here's what Asa did in that moment. Let's look at verse 11. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. And what happened? The Lord answered that prayer by striking down the Ethiopian army. You see, Asa understood that his only chance at victory was calling to the Lord, calling on him, putting his trust in God alone, because he knew that God is able to help the powerless against the mighty. Ever feel powerless? Ever feel like you're going up against something you cannot overcome? A virus that doesn't relent? A challenge in your marriage that doesn't change? A temptation that doesn't go away? Yeah, me too. I've been there. But good thing is that we serve a God that helps the powerless against the mighty. And the story doesn't stop there. God wanted to make sure that King Asa got the lesson along with the miracle. And he did as Jesus does so many times in the Gospels, sent a word for King Asa. So we're going to pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. Listen to me, Asa, he shouted. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. God wanted to make sure Asa and the people understood the reason for their incredible and miraculous victory. It was because God was with them. And in that moment, he reminded them that he would be with them as long as they would be with him. That, my friends, is called commitment. God makes a commitment to be faithful to us, loyal to us, to never leave us nor forsake us, and that nothing can separate us from his love except our choosing. So, have you chosen the Lord? Have you chosen to be with him? Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Are you ready to repent? To be baptized into Christ? Have your sins been forgiven so that the Spirit of God can live within you? If you haven't, today is a great day to make that decision. Today is the day to make that commitment before the Lord. Because you know what? People will betray you. They will abandon you. People will leave you alone. Trials and tribulations will leave you feeling alone. And sin will trap you in darkness alone. All alone. But God will be with you and within you for eternity. You can take that to the bank. God has already done his part to prove it to us. He allowed his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified for our sin. The sin that would separate him from his father, so that we would not have to experience what it's like to be separated from our father for eternity. So that we would never be alone. Speaking of father and son, at the end of 2020, Tiger Woods and his son, his 11-year-old son, Charlie, got to play in their first golf tournament together. Check these pictures out. You know, sports fans everywhere were eager to see the father-son duo in action. And though they did very well, they actually got second place. The real story was that how they had camaraderie together. It was great watching them work together and having so much fun along the way. That's what made the headlines. Now this is the picture that grabbed my heart. It's the picture of a confident son knowing his father got his back. It's the picture of a confident father knowing his son has embraced his teaching. It's the picture of a relationship that mirrors our relationship with our Father in heaven. The opening line of an ESPN article really brought it home for me. It said this: whether the same, wearing the same customary Sunday red as his dad, Charlie Woods exhibited many of the same characteristics of his accomplished father, including the walk, the talk, and the swing. You look at little Charlie and you know that he knows he's not alone. He's out there feeling equipped, feeling believed in, feeling so confident that he was even out there talking trash to the other golfers. Can you believe that? Just having a blast because he knew his dad, the GOAT, was with him. So what did he have to fear? Why would he ever doubt? And Tiger, he loved every minute of it. Here's what he had to say. It was incredibly special for us to have the opportunity to spend the quality time we had. It's memories we'll have for our entire lives. It was special for both of us. I believe that God feels the same way. I believe that God enjoys being on the journey with us. He is eager to teach us and train us. He's excited about the adventures that we can go on together. He walks with us into battle. He wants to see us victorious. He celebrates when we persevere, even through the dark times when we feel alone, especially through the dark times when we feel alone. Let's pick back up in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We're going to start there in verse 5. Moving on, here's what it said. It said, during those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation and city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of problem. Does that sound familiar or what? Dark times? Not safe for travel? Problems troubling the people of every land, nations at war, cities at war, and God was behind it all? You see, God loves us too much to let us stray for too long. He will allow us to suffer the consequences of our rebellion in order to see the light and return to Him. But check out what He says to Asa in verse 7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded the prophet, he took courage. See, it's the word of God, the promise that He is with us and that we are never alone. That's what gives us the courage to be strong and to not give up, trusting that our work, our perseverance, our self-denial, the way we serve others, will be rewarded. Immediately, I'm reminded of Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, that God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. You know, this past week, we took part in a 3-day fast. We have done this for the last several years, in which it's a time that we give up food in order to consecrate ourselves and our plans before the Lord. And we just give it up to Him, and we give up the thing that physically sustains us, food, right? And we trust the One who sustains us in every way imaginable. Now, it's during this time of fasting that for me, I feel closest to God, because in a real way, I feel my need for God. It's in that moment that I'm reminded of just how weak I really am, of how much I need Him, of how easily I can allow my heart and my mind to be distracted by the things that I do not need. And in that moment, it is God who is there to strengthen me and encourage me and comfort me in ways that no food can. And if God can strengthen us and encourage us and comfort us, he can also fill us with hope for better days. For we know that as Christians, the best is yet to come. Actually, I like to say the best is always yet to come. Because even if things do not get better in this life, we have the hope of heaven in the horizon. Now, Aunt Clemens and Justin Timberlake, they performed the song Better Days at the inauguration concert. And I just wanted to share some of the lyrics here as we get ready to take communion together. It goes like this. I know you've been kicked down, slept on, let down, faith gone, waited for too long for something to lean on. You feel weak, just be strong. Deep breath, stay calm. If you just press on, press on, press on, you're gonna see there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Keep your eyes on the road ahead. And if you're feeling lost in the night, it's okay to cry just as long as you hold your head. My brothers and sisters, we can hold our head when we have a deep conviction that we are never alone. As we take communion and remember Jesus, let's remember he's the one who died so that we can hope for better days. He's the one whose sacrifice marked a moment in which all the world and all eternity would never be the same. And he's the one who promises that when we choose him, we choose to never be alone again. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in humility, grateful for the ways we've been able to experience you, your love, your comfort, the ways you've given us faith and you've helped us to persevere. We thank you for proving your commitment to us to always be with us by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And as we take this cracker that represents his broken body and this juice that represents the blood that was shed for our sin, Father, I pray that we can be grateful. And I pray that that gratitude will lead us to a deeper commitment to respond to your love. Father, we love you so much. And we ask that you will be with us this year. We consecrate this year to you. We consecrate this theme to you, our plans to you, Father God. Help us to embrace change. Lord God, help us to look for new ways to bring you glory, God, and be with us, God, every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.